This month, one of my heroes, Oscar Romero, was officially recognized by the Catholic Church as a saint. Oscar Romero was a bishop in El Salvador in the early 1980s. He was assassinated by the country's U.S.-backed military while he was in the middle of celebrating the Eucharist at a hospital chapel service. He was shot in the heart as he lifted up the bread and wine to consecrate them during the Mass. Now, Romero had been warned to lay low for a while. He knew that he'd made himself a target because of his fearless preaching on behalf of the poor and marginalized people of El Salvador, the campesinos, who had no other voice to speak up on their behalf. Tens of thousands of campesinos had been murdered or disappeared by their own government. Many of those same government officials identified as Catholic. They were members of Romero's own church. Oscar Romero knew that he was putting himself in danger by calling out the injustices that his government was perpetrating. He knew his name was added to their hit list. But even the threat of violence against his own life couldn't stop him from speaking the truth to power. The November issue of The Atlantic magazine writes, "As the military regime's repression escalated, priests murdered, campesinos disappeared, protesters massacred, Romero condemned from within the church the social sin perpetuated by the government and the ruling class, whom he accused of paying to kill the voice that speaks out. He used his Sunday morning homilies to report on people murdered or kidnapped, identifying each by name. He made the Archdiocese radio station an alternative to state-controlled media. When threatened campesinos occupied churches to protect themselves, he supported them. When the president of El Salvador failed to stop the murders of priests and laity, Romero excommunicated him." Oscar Romero was willing to lay down his own life for the sake of the gospel. I've often wondered, if I were walking in his shoes, whether I would have the courage to do the same thing. And I'm deeply grateful that I've never had to make a choice like that. It's easy to be a follower of Jesus when the crowds are throwing down palm branches and shouting Hosanna. But it's a whole lot harder to follow behind Jesus as he carries his cross up the steep hill of Golgotha. We read in the Gospel of Mark this morning that when Peter becomes a disciple of Jesus, he doesn't know that he will one day have to make a choice like this, a choice about whether to risk everything for his faith. Peter is the first person to claim Jesus as the Messiah, but at the time, he can't imagine the level of personal sacrifice that this belief will one day require of him. At first, Peter thinks he's getting in on the ground floor of the next big thing. Everybody's excited about Jesus' miracles. He heals the sick. He makes the blind see. Jesus' incredible gift for public speaking draws huge crowds who are willing to travel long distances on foot just to hear his talks. If people are eager to watch Jesus put the Pharisees in their place, they're even more excited to see how Jesus is gaining increasing popular support. In fact, Jesus' rising popularity is becoming so powerful that his followers begin to believe he's going to become the next great political leader in Palestine. The Romans will finally be driven out, and God's chosen king will reign again on the throne of David. Jesus is about to make Israel great again. It's what Peter believes. But Peter's wrong. While Peter is happily daydreaming about sitting at the right hand of the king's throne, Jesus is getting ready to sacrifice his life. Jesus begins openly teaching that he must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. But Peter doesn't get it. He just doesn't understand what being the Messiah is actually about. Jesus isn't coming to claim political power. Jesus is coming to undermine the whole system. God's kingdom is going to look completely different from anything that Peter can imagine. In fact, Peter misunderstands Jesus so badly that he tries to give Jesus a lecture on not being politically savvy enough. Peter thinks Jesus' message is too negative, too much of a downer. All that talk of suffering and death, that's not going to motivate the crowds. In Peter's mind, Jesus needs to be inspiring and uplifting people, rallying the troops. Not talking about all this pessimistic stuff. But Jesus knows Peter's ambitions are heading down a different track from the direction of God's plans. So Jesus turns away from Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." You see, Peter has been mistakenly buying into the fake news about Jesus. He's come to believe something that's not actually true. Yes, Jesus is on a divine mission, but it's not about gaining power for himself. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of the powerful. It's a kingdom of the weak. It's a kingdom where whoever wants to be the greatest of all must be the servant of all. It's a kingdom where the rich and powerful are cast down, but the poor and the marginalized are lifted up. It's a kind of kingdom where little children are the leaders. God's kingdom looks completely upside down. Peter's faith has been in his own ambitions instead of in God's vision. So Jesus calls him out on his fake faith. Jesus corrects him, saying, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." God's kingdom is not about power and ambition. It's about sacrifice. It took Peter a long time to learn this truth. A couple thousand years later, Oscar Romero would come to learn it too. Jesus knew it would be a hard teaching, and it's still hard for us today. The reality of human nature is that we enjoy things that are easy. And we have a tendency to shy away when things get hard. How many of us have ever purchased a gym membership that we've barely used? Or how many of us have given up on flossing our teeth every day? If these healthy habits are things that we know are good for us, but they're hard to keep, how much harder is it to stay on track when other people are actively working against us? It's easy to be a Christian when times are good. It's fun to be able to enjoy a potluck meal together with our friends after church on a Sunday, and it's wonderful to be able to take our kids to a fun event. But what happens when it's not so much fun anymore? What happens when we're forced to choose between doing what's right and doing what's easy? What happens when society is pushing us in one direction, but God is calling us to follow a different path? We live today in a world that is increasingly unpredictable. We don't know what headline might dominate the news when we wake up tomorrow morning. It could well be that in the future, it's not going to be as easy to be a follower of Jesus as it has been in the past. It's quite possible that we may one day find ourselves confronted with that same dilemma that people like Peter and Oscar Romero had to decide. Whether to follow Jesus' leading or to take the easier path toward power and personal gain. None of us knows what the future might hold. But one thing is certain. Whatever difficult road we might be asked to take, Jesus has already walked it ahead of us. Will we have the courage to follow?